Amen. What's up, everybody? I'm going to share my screen. Hold on. I have my other laptop up, so this is confusing. Hold on. Boom. Okay. It's showing. But thank you so much, Ricky and Sabrina. I know they're it was super hectic in there with the kids and everything. What's up, guys? How's everybody doing? Thanks for logging on. I know it's during finals, and you guys all have final projects, final exams, final papers, and I'll keep things short tonight, but just hang in there, guys. It'll be over soon, and you can enjoy winter break, and that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about today is how to have a great winter break. So that's simply what the title of today's lesson is, but I honestly can't believe it's the middle of December right now. I don't know if you guys realize this, but Christmas is next Saturday. It's crazy. Christmas is in 10 days. And it feels like just last week, we were at the refresh retreat. And then you take a blink and all of a sudden it's Christmas. So it's kind of crazy. But my first point for today is get some rest and be refreshed, okay? This is how to have a great winter break. You need to get some rest. If you're not trying to get rest during winter break, then what are you even doing, right? You should be getting rest. Rest is biblical. God rested on the seventh day, right? In Genesis 2, it says, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. So we see here that not only did God rest, but he made that day holy because he rested. And then we see later on in the Old Testament that honoring the Sabbath became part of the law of Moses, part of the Ten Commandments. So this was a big deal in the Jewish culture, resting. But now as Christians under the new covenant, under Jesus, we're not required to keep a Sabbath every week, but the principle of resting after working hard should still be something we imitate, right? Even Jesus rested. In Matthew 8, verses 23 through 24, I love this passage, but it says, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. And then what did Jesus do? Oh, wait, Jesus was sleeping, right? But Jesus was sleeping. So in this passage, Jesus was sleeping. He took time to rest because he knew he would need his energy and strength when they got to the other side of the lake. And he did need it. If you read on, you would see that Jesus heals two demon-possessed men right when they get to the other side of the lake. So he needed rest. And guys, rest is important. If Jesus needs it, then we need it even more so. And I'm hoping that we all want to come out of winter break even more rested and with more energy than we are heading into it, for sure. But how can we get the best rest, right? That's the magical question. Let's go to Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Jesus says here, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We'll stop there. So yes, physical rest is important, but right here, Jesus is telling us that we can have rest for our souls through him. And through following him, he will give us that rest. But guys, a break from school shouldn't seem like a break from discipleship. I know it can be easy to just shut everything off after finals. I've been there. But trust me, taking a break from discipleship won't be relaxing at all. As a matter of fact, it will cause a lot of damage. You might get more sleep and you might finish more Netflix shows, but your soul won't be refreshed. And I know for me, there have been winter breaks where this just wasn't the priority for me. It was damaging. It would be 2 weeks into break and I'd realize I was building some bad habits. I wasn't really having great quiet times or any at all for that matter, I would wake up and go straight to Netflix and video games. I was going to sleep super late, like 4 a.m. And I would go to sleep. Well, I would wake up super late then. I'd wake up at like 2 p.m. The day's already gone. And because of that, I became super isolated from family and friends because I was always in my room playing video games or doing what I wanted to do. And these habits kind of carried into my next semester of school. And it became overwhelming once you started to add schoolwork and all that, all those different things to it. But what I noticed was, what I thought was me getting rest was actually me giving in to laziness. And there's a big difference between rest and laziness, right? Laziness, by definition, is being unwilling to work or to use energy at all. And rest is to cease work or movement in order to refresh yourself or recover strength. And that's what we want. We want rest. Rest is intentional. It's meant to refresh and strengthen you. We want to be refreshed and strengthened spiritually over this winter break. But that can only happen through Jesus, who gives us that rest. What does that look like practically to prioritize Jesus and discipleship over the break? We got to spend time in the Word and in prayer. And hopefully, if you're not taking winter classes, I'm sorry for whoever is, but we'll have more time, right? We'll have more time to do this. And I find that at the end of the year, it's a great time to be able to reflect on the past year. I know New Year's is coming up. We've got New Year's resolutions. And I know the trend is to come up with them and then follow them for a week and stop, you know, but we want to be people who really stick to those. But something you can ask yourself as you're reflecting is, what do I want to grow in spiritually? What are some goals or dreams I have for next semester? What do I want to do on campus? What is the topic in the Bible that I want to study out a little more, right? We had some great lessons not too long ago, lessons on holiness, on weed, on alcohol, right? What are some things you want to study out a little more? Some interesting things you want to study out. But this break is a great opportunity to reflect and even grow spiritually. So let's make the most out of it. Let's not give in to laziness, but go after intentional rest, both spiritual rest and physical rest, so that we can come out of the break in January refreshed and strengthened. Amen. My second point, as we continue, is beware of the scheme and connect with the team. Beware of the scheme and connect with the team. Yeah, let's go to Ephesians 6. I'm going to read out of there. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We'll stop there. But it's easy during break when you're focused on getting rest to forget that we're in a constant spiritual battle. Satan is scheming and looking for ways to shake your faith, to put you off your game, to let you give into temptation. And in 1 Peter 5, starting verse 8, it gives us a warning about the devil's schemes. 1 Peter 5, starting in verse 8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We'll stop there. But guys, winter break is a great opportunity to grow spiritually, but it could also be a great opportunity for Satan to attack. Right? We're going back home with our families. We have a little more time on our hands. We're less connected with the ministry. There's just a lot of different ways that Satan can get in there. But in this scripture, in 1 Peter, it calls us to be alert. So it's important to ask ourselves, what could Satan tempt me with over this winter break? What could he tempt me with? Is it impurity? Is it debauchery? Overindulgence with Netflix or gaming or whatever you tend to overindulge in? Is it complaining, right? Laziness kind of leads to complaining. Is it selfishness? Am am I going to be in tough situations back home where I could be tempted, right? Are you going to be interacting with old high school friends or exes or any bad company that it talks about in the Bible? Bad company corrupts good character. Am I going to be in those situations? And I know some of us are going to be home with non-disciple families, right? Will it be challenging to live out discipleship at home with family? Could I get persecuted or ridiculed for following God when I go back home? But reflecting on these, it's important to be aware of this and get advice about your different situation, because you want to stand against Satan's schemes. We all may go through different challenges and temptations this winter, but we can definitely find victory through all that. We might be away in different places, but we can continue to help each other overcome and stand against Satan's schemes. That's right. We got to beware of the scheme and connect with the team. So let's talk about connecting with the team for a second. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 24, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Well, we'll stop there, but I'm glad we live in 2021. We have technology. We're on Zoom right now, but we don't have to be in the same city to be able to follow the scripture, right? To be able to spur each other on and encourage one another. So I want to challenge everyone to really stay in touch this winter break. Both of us, both those who are staying in New York City and those who are traveling back home, it's important that we continue to spur each other on and encourage each other, even when we're apart. I want to see the group me popping Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year's. I want to see a bunch of messages from my family, my spiritual family right here. Maybe you could do a quiet time or prayer with people over break with someone here, someone on this call. I know there's going to be a period of time where we won't have an official campus event or official campus events, but maybe you could plan your own hangout or a virtual hangout, something like that. Maybe you want to plan a January encouragement date. I've been on some virtual ones. Could be in person too if you're in New York or you're with other disciples. But it's important that we stay connected, because not only will we continue to grow spiritually, but we'll have other people to hold us accountable, and we'll grow as a group and as a ministry as well. So let's be aware of Satan's schemes and remember to connect with the team. Amen. And for my final point tonight is put compassion into action. And we're going to be reading out of Mark chapter 6. But in Mark chapter 6, starting verse 30 through 34, it says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns to get there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them so many things." We'll stop there. So speaking of rest, we just talked about rest, right? Jesus was looking for rest in this passage. Him and the disciples, they didn't even have a chance to eat. They're working all day. They're probably getting a little hangry. I know you all know how that feels. So, you know, Jesus told his disciples, "Hey, let's find a solitary place where we can rest and eat." But the people saw them and another crowd formed, right? And, you know, for us, that could be kind of annoying, right? If that happened to us. But what was Jesus's first instinct? It was to have compassion, right? He saw they were lost, like they were sheep without a shepherd. So he wanted to teach them. And we need to follow Jesus's example. Jesus put compassion into action. He could have just left the crowd to go eat something. That would have been valid, right? He was working all day. He could have just gone to a solitary place and ate with his disciples, but he chose to be a light. He chose to teach them. And for us, we need to be a light, even when we go back home. We need to be a light in our homes. And I know a lot of us, we don't have disciple family members. So we could be thinking of different ways to engage with them spiritually, whether it's something simple, like even just having a quiet time in the living room or somewhere where they might notice, oh, what are you reading? The Bible? Interesting. You could start a spiritual conversation or invite them to church. We need to do something to put our compassion into action. In Matthew 5, starting verse 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We'll stop there. But this is encouraging, right? Jesus is saying we are the light of the world. We should be sharing our light with others. And it's cool because we can be a light just through our actions, right? Our good deeds. That's what it says here, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I know it can be difficult, especially when you're focusing on rest this semester, right? You're trying to get some rest. So it can be difficult to have this mindset, but let's really go after serving our families, right? Showing them these good deeds that lead them to the Father, whether that's helping with chores, taking out the trash, or whether that's engaging with your siblings more, right? I know for me, it can be tempting to just lock myself in my room and like not interact with my little sister at all. But that could go a long way. That could go a long way to your siblings. Whether that's doing something usually out of your comfort zone, like initiating a family hangout or something, or a card game, that could go a long way too. But let's really be a light to our family and friends back home by the way we serve them. So I know you guys are all excited to go on break. I am too for a little while. But let's remember that if we focus on getting rest through Jesus and are aware of Satan's schemes and stay connected with each other and put compassion into action, we'll not only come out of winter break super refreshed, but we'll also be strengthened spiritually and even help others to find God. So let's really remember that for this winter break. And yeah, that's all I have for today. But I want to let you guys go and study for finals and things like that. But thanks for listening.